What is going on, everyone? You're tuned into Jimmy D Radio, where we discuss how to turn your everyday thoughts into success. And I'm your host, Jimmy D. As always, thank you guys very much for tuning in today. I appreciate you guys taking time out of your busy lives to hear what myself and my guest today, Thomas Mark, has to say. Thomas has an incredible story to tell. He did something that a lot of people think about, that a lot of people fantasize about, but never actually pull the trigger. And I'll let Thomas, you know, tell more about his story, but basically, he graduated not too long ago with a degree in finance, went to go work in the corporate banking world, and realized very quickly that he absolutely hated it and he couldn't imagine being stuck behind a computer screen for the next 25 or 30 years of his life. He ended up walking out on that cushy, fully benefited, you know, base salary plus commission job without any real plan on what he was going to do, but he knew he did not want to do that. Now he's a certified personal trainer. He has a thriving presence on social media. He has his own podcast, and he just started his own YouTube channel as well. So sit back, relax. There are a lot of things that you can take away from this interview about Thomas's mindset, about how he goes about his daily life, and just about how he's kind of chasing his dream, and life is too short to spend 40 to 50 hours every week doing something that you absolutely hate. So sit back and enjoy, guys. Oh, and I almost forgot. I would like to mention that this was a recorded phone call. Thomas is up in Connecticut and I'm in Orlando. So there were some points where I could not hear him that well. The recording did not pick up Thomas's voice that well. I edited those parts out. So bear in there with me. This interview, though, is definitely worth the listen. I just wanted to preface it with that. So enjoy, guys.
Hey, good afternoon, Thomas. How you doing today, man?
Doing well, Jim. What's going on with you, my man?
Not much, man. It's really awesome to connect with you again. For those of you who don't know, Thomas is really the one who inspired me to kind of start my own podcast. I was on his podcast, what, about maybe like 4 or 5 months ago?
Yeah, a while.
Yeah, it was probably the first time I really shared my story on a public forum like that. So I'm really excited to have you on, man. I know you can add a lot of value to my listeners. And, you know, for those of you who don't know, Thomas, you were in the corporate banking world, right?
Yeah. So just I'll give you, like, my little 2 cents. I health and fitness has always been my thing. I mean, more so now it's been a career that I've pursued. But at first, it was kind of just a hobby. You know, growing up, it kind of just got me out of those dark places. And it really just showed me, you know, what I can not only do with my body, but in terms of, like, transformations and how you can take control of situations and better your own life. And so I just always kind of stuck with it. You know, I did bodybuilding for a little bit and competed in that. And I just never really thought of it as an actual career. And so went to school, got a bachelor's in financial management, and last summer is when I graduated. And so I got a job doing mortgage banking, and it was really fun. At first, it seemed like an awesome opportunity for me. Right out of school, you know, good salary, benefits, commission. I'm like, wow, I'm going to make all this money. It's going to be great. 5:30, just staring at 2 Excel sheets. I mean, it was unbearable. And so it got to the point where
Hey, Thomas.
Oh.
Hey, you seem to be cutting out a little bit. I'm not sure if you can hear me or not.
Oh, yeah, I can hear you, man. Can you hear me well enough?
Yeah. Okay. So kind of, where you mentioned it was unbearable.
I kind of cut off there. Okay, yeah. So it got to the point where it was just unbearable, where, you know, my life was just so repeatable, and it was dull. I would wake up. I would come to work, sit in this cubicle, look at 2 computer screens for 8.5 hours. Then I would leave. I would go work out. That was my one solstice for the day. And I would just come home, sleep, and do it all over again. And, you know, I remember.
You know, but I don't mean to cut you off there for a second, but it seemed to check, like, all the boxes that society says what you need to be at.
I know, exactly. And so
that you know, was so like you followed the blueprint of what society said, you know, you should do, and then you weren't happy doing it.
And that was a big conflicting issue that kind of, you know, I dub it like my self-awakening. You could call it, you know, like however it is, but like my aha moment, I guess, like as a lot of people like would say for themselves. I mean, it got to the point where it was like Sunday at 6 o'clock. I could not wait until next Friday. And I was like, why am I doing this to myself? You know, why am I spending 40, 50 hours a week subjecting myself to this torture? And so, you know, I'm thinking exactly like to your point, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. I graduated. I got my degree in this. Like, it's good. I should be wanting to pursue this and make this living and get into this career field. And I just didn't feel right doing it. And so there was this big conflict of, you know, how I felt, what was what. And then it just got to the point where it was so unbearable. I was just not happy. I felt sick. Going to work was sickening. And so I was just driving to the gym one day after work, and I was listening to one of those, like, SoundCloud motivational things. And all it takes is just to hear one thing that gets the gears turning. And so just my thought process just started thinking a little differently. Instead of, you know, focusing so much on where I wanted to be with a career, I was thinking to myself, what do I really want to be doing for 30, 40 years of my life? I've been doing it for a couple of weeks and I can't stand it. There's no way I'm lasting, you know, 20, 30 years. And so I really started to think more deeply on, you know, doing things that would bring value to my life and how I could best bring value to other people. Because there's no way that anybody would want to live a miserable life like this. And I would look at my coworkers and I would say, how can you know, you're consciously and will and knowingly just living these mundane lives, and that's not something I wanted. No, and so after a while, I kind of just started, you know, thinking about where I want to go. I was still very unsure, and you know, I was like, oh, well, maybe I could, you know, do this or do that, and it just got to the point where, you know, I had to make a decision, and so it was at that point where I either just hunker down and continue, or it's like now or never, and so. And I also had a little pressure on my side for the work aspect because it was like a big year performance review period of time. And so it was, you know, my work capacity was essentially increased. So it was either I kind of...
Hey, Thomas, I don't mean to cut you off, man, but are you like moving the phone at all? Because you seem to be like speaking clearly for a second and then like far away for a minute.
No, it's right here. It's right here in front of me.
Is it? Just the connection. Okay. All right. Sorry, man. Continue.
Okay. No, my apologies, man.
No, I think it's just the connection for some reason, but I can hear you. It's all good.
Okay. And yeah, but yeah. So anyway, it got to the point where I was like, all right, well, if I don't make the decision now, I never will, because we overthink it, and like we always want to hold ourselves back. I had a fallback, not really a fallback option, but I was like, you know what, I'm going to go back. Just working in restaurants, bartending, making some simple money,
bills afloat,
and I'm going to think about what I can do that won't make me sick every single day of my life. And so I took that leap of faith. It was extremely scary. I put my job, left all that. I went back, kind of like, you know, square one, essentially. And so here I am sitting. I say, okay, I have a college degree. I'm not using it. Just put this brand new job that seems really, really cool, you know, in regards to society and like their standards. Like, what am I doing now? And so just like little by little, kind of like find your way. You know, I started a blog, I started a podcast, and I started like, you know, sharing my health and fitness knowledge on Instagram, and then one thing leads to another, and then, you know, here I am now. I'm a personal trainer, working with a ton of awesome people. I have, you know, my Instagram audience, just started YouTube, still run my blog and podcast as well, and really just understanding now, after living that corporate lifestyle for so long, like really just, you know, understanding, you know, our fulfillment and what, like, living a healthy life really means. Like, obviously, in terms of physical fitness, that's a big component, but, you know, just being mentally healthy and, like, mentally happy. And so that was one of the big drivers for me leaving my job, was because, you know, the mental health aspect wasn't there. And I think if anything, that's something that is very, very overlooked, and it's something that should be addressed more. But yeah, we could talk about that in a little bit, but that's kind of my little two cents where I am right now.
Yeah, well, that's awesome, man. And, you know, I applaud you for having the courage to, you know, take that leap of faith in yourself and, you know, strive for happiness, because everyone kind of talks themselves out of, you know, of doing what they want because, you know, kind of so, and he used the term brainwashed, but pretty much, you know, brainwashed by society and what our parents tell us and what our, you know, friends are doing. So we kind of think we have to follow this blueprint, but, you know, it's awesome you had the courage to do that. So can you tell us a little bit about, you know, your internal dialogue, you know, throughout that process? Like, what was it like when you had that aha moment? You know, I'm sure you kind of teetered, you know, back and forth. What was that, you know, internal dialogue kind of like when you were contemplating making that jump?
I mean, every day it's a back and forth. You know, every day it's a back and forth. But what's really cool is that you learn a lot about yourself in the process with it. And so at first, you know, at first you're just kind of like a normal person with it. You're like, okay, you know, maybe I will do this. I have this option. And so maybe I won't. And, you know, no one ever thinks about quitting the job at first. So if anything, at first for me, it was like, it was the denial aspect of it. It was, you know, what's going wrong? Why are you feeling like this? You know, work is boring, but it's okay. Like, it'll get better. Like, just, you know, like, push through it. And so you almost kind of
It's supposed to be like that. You're not supposed to
enjoy it. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Why can't I be happy just like everyone else?
Exactly. So, like, you're kind of, like, finding ways to justify it. And so that's, like, the first part of it. Like, the first, like, you know, like, week, 2-3 weeks or so, you're kind of just like, well, I just got to settle into it, and then I'll be good. Nothing's getting better right now. Like, this is not good. And then all the little red flags start to go off. And so now, like, throughout the day in my head, I'm thinking, well, maybe it's not going to get better. Like, maybe you should start thinking about something else. Maybe, you know, just the seeds for change are being planted. And so just, like, you know, subtly throughout the day, I'm thinking, well, what if I were to leave? Or, you know, what is something else I could consider? And especially right after graduating, you're thinking to yourself, well, I just spent 4 years getting my degree in this. There's no way I'm switching it right now. And then, you know, you kind of just keep...
Yeah, you don't want all that time and effort to be somewhat wasted.
Exactly, yeah. And you're like, well, you're like, I don't want to be a loser and waste my education. Like, you have all these, like, stupid thoughts that go through your head. But anyway, you run through that, then... And so that's kind of where you have to have a hard conversation with yourself. And, you know, for me specifically, it was, do I want to continue subjecting myself to this, or do I want to try to at least, you know, enjoy my life? And so, you know, a lot of people at that point, they would consider the situation lost, and they wouldn't try to salvage it. You know, they would say, okay, this is my college degree, this is what I have it in, it's going to pay the bills, so I'm going to continue to do it. And so, you know, I have that hard conversation in my head, and I say, okay, if I really do choose to leave, if I really do choose to, you know, actually go through with this, what the hell am I going to do? Like, what is my plan? Like, I can't just, you know, upright and just, you know, go and leave. Like, I need some sort of fallback plan. So then you actually start, like, relating. That's the fallback. Like, now your internal conversation... Now it's almost like, you know, you're planning and you're scheming with yourself. You're saying, okay, I know I'm going to do it. It's going to happen. And, you know, this is exactly how I'm going to go about it. And, you know, you do that for like 1 or 2 weeks or so. And it helps you get through the workday as well because you know your time is coming. You're planning your leave and you're good. And then it actually comes to that time and you start to try to not. You're like, wait a second. Like, is this the right choice? You know, you really start to doubt yourself. And you go, well, do I have to leave? Can I do something else? And then you just start to almost try to pull yourself back because we've amped ourselves up for change and then we don't want to change. It's the craziest thing. And so you almost have to forcefully push yourself over the ledge. And so I remember with me, I was sitting at my desk, and it was my lunch break, and we had to fill out these mid-year performance review sheets, and I didn't want to do it because essentially if I filled it out, like, I would be committing to keep on working. And so I remember sitting at my desk thinking, oh, you know, I'll quit tomorrow, or I'll put my notice in tomorrow, or I'll wait till Monday. You know, it's finding silly little ways to justify it. And I remember blankly, without thinking, just shooting myself up from my chair and walking to my boss's office. And, like, right at that point, I'm just like, well, I'm already walking. Like, I have to do this. There's no turning back now. And so you kind of almost, like, you have to kind of blind yourself for a millisecond and just force your body to do something. It's crazy. It's a very tough thing to do, but you kind of just have to, you know, block out your head for a millisecond. It's just like, it's hard to describe, but you have to almost kind of like, it's like an outer body experience almost. You have to like pick yourself up and move you. And at that point, that's when I realized, you know, you made the right decision. Like, you had that hard conversation. And so the voices inside your head are always trying to pull you back and then push you forward. And so it's about which ones you really want to follow through with. And so I'm happy, obviously, I made the decision. But, you know, definitely those first, those points, you know, before making that big leap of faith, it's tough. It's tough because every single hour of the day, you know, you think you got to figure it out, and then you look at it from another angle. Or somebody says something that either pushes you to do it or to have you withdraw from it. And so there's just so much noise. And I think what really helped me was just cutting out the noise and really just having that blank conversation with myself, that binary black and white, it's yes or no. You either leave and you go do something, or you just suck it up and you hate your life. And so the decision was clear for me, but then physically acting on it was the harder part. But like I said, we kind of just have to blank yourself out and just go with it.
Dude, that's awesome. And I really appreciate the insight into like that internal dialogue. I think a lot of people struggle with that, not only with a huge decision like you made, but with, you know, almost any decision that's kind of uncomfortable because, you know, our brain's job is to keep us safe. So anything that could potentially hurt us, it's our brain's job to like maximize and blow it up. And it makes a lot of really rational arguments to ourselves that do make a lot of sense. But kind of when you realize that it is your brain just trying to keep you safe from potential harm in the future, it's kind of easier to you know, overcome that voice in your head.
Absolutely. I absolutely think so. And not even that, like you said, our brains are always wired to think that
worst case scenario.
Exactly. And so we always
want to, it's like a survival tool that our brains have to identify potential harmful things.
Exactly.
And blow them up and maximize them because it's just trying to keep us safe. But once you know that's how your brain works, you can start to be self-aware of those thoughts, identify them, and then tell them to shut the fuck up.
Absolutely. And, like, that's what I was saying. Like, in terms of, like, you kind of almost have to, like, blank yourself out for a millisecond and just force yourself to, you know, quote-unquote harm you. And so, you know, your brain doesn't want you to take that risky move. Your brain doesn't want you to quit your job or take that jump. And so you almost have to kind of shut your brain off and just, like, throw yourself. It sounds really crazy. I mean, doing something about that, like, throw. And, like, you know, your brain will eventually adapt. And so it's just, you know, it's like riding a bike. Eventually the training wheels have to come off. Like, you don't want them to, but eventually they have to. But you learn how to ride the bike. So definitely, like, I couldn't agree with you anymore. It's just, it's a mind fuck, if anything. Like, you have to go against everything you've, one, ever been taught, and two, everything that you've ever felt, because you've been conditioned to act on these feelings. And now you're going against that, you know, especially after, you know, 20, 30, 40-something years of it. I mean, it's tough to go back on those habits. So I couldn't agree with you anymore.
Yeah, definitely, man. It was awesome you were able to shut that voice down and still take action, you know, on your dreams and what you wanted to do. Now, How did your, you know, your parents, your friends and family react, not only, you know, when you were talking about it, discussing it, but when you actually pulled the trigger? Were they supportive, or was it a mix of, or was it a mix of both?
So, it was, to be honest with you, it was kind of just, well, first and foremost, my parents are absolutely there with me throughout all of it, but it was really more so just an internal conversation with myself, and I kind of kept everybody at bay. The reason being is because, you know, I would talk to my parents about it, and, you know, they gave me some, you know, they gave me the best sound advice they could. You know, do you enjoy it? Are you happy? You know, do that. And, you know, that's where, you know, I'm really thankful, especially with my mom, and that she's very binary with the decision-making. And so it's almost rough at times. It's like an uncomfortable conversation because it's not sweet. It's not sugar-coated. And so it's like, are you happy? Yes, no, no, go do something else. I'm like, that's it. And so they were as supportive as they could be in that manner. They would be like, well, what are you doing? Are you happy? What are you trying to do? And now I would go, oh, well, you know, I'm not happy at the job, or I want to leave, but I'm not sure what my plan is. Okay, think of a plan and then leave. And then it's like, oh, great, like I already knew that. But, you know, they did a great job of always kind of like reading where I was and like helping, you know, bounce off that. And so, like, especially like there were days where like I'd be unsure of myself. You know, my mom would be like, listen, just relax. Like, it'll take care of itself. Like, you know, go to sleep and just think about it tomorrow. And like, just like really calming. And, you know, especially, you know, when I was, you know, like the day before I quit and I went back to like doing bartending and my restaurant job, my mom was like, you know what, like, you should just go back, do that, take the money cut, and just really focus on yourself and the stuff you want to do. And so, like, they were really supportive in that aspect. But, you know, other than that, I really kind of just, like, kept everybody else out of it. You know, something I realized was, like, there's a lot of noise, obviously. And, you know, during this time, and, you know, going off of, like, the whole having that internal conversation, it's really one of those periods of time where it has to be you and your voice. And so, you know, like, I for one didn't really feel a need to reach out to anyone. Obviously I talked to my parents about it, but, you know, my friends, you know, like, to the ones I would briefly talk about it with, like, you know, it's one of those things that no matter, like, what people kind of tell you, you have to figure out on your own, if that makes any sense. And so it's like, I would get advice from people here and there, bits and pieces, but at the end of the day, it was still, how do I feel inside, and is this going to feel right with me? And so, if anything, like, the support was definitely there. It just, it didn't really do much in terms of just, like, help kind of, you know, keep me at bay and guide me along the way, which is, you know, absolutely still tremendous, but, you know, people think that they need a strong support group. And it's obvious, it's always important, you know, the better, you know, the more the merrier. And so, but people often think that, you know, this is where you learn that you're really in control. And so I didn't necessarily have people, you know, cheering me and clapping me along the way. I mean, again, I love, you know, I absolutely love my parents to death. You know, they were great people to talk to and help me, you know, brainstorm, definitely. But it's not like there was a whole squad clapping me along the way. I mean, you know, the majority of the time it was just me in my head and, like, just, like, thinking and just, like, a lot of downtime. And so this is where you really learn about yourself because, you know, you're not relying on anyone anymore. You're kind of just, you know, this is where you have to make that decision for yourself. And I think that's where a lot of people actually could fall into some ill fate in that they look to the support group for the answer without looking to themselves. And so, you know, you look to your friends or your family to tell you to either quit your job or, you know, do the responsible thing and stay working. And I just feel like those opinions can kind of just clutter your head and you have to figure out what's good for you. Because if you're just listening to your support people, as good as their advice and support may be, at the end of the day, you have to do what's in your head and what you feel is right.
Dude, I couldn't have said it any better myself. And if anyone takes anything from this episode right here, it's that right there, that you kind of have to figure things out yourself. And yeah, it's okay to ask your parents or your mentors, but everyone looks to be validated for their decisions, I think, before they actually make them. So, you know, hey man, what do you think about this? And if, you know, 4 to 5 people you tell don't think it's a great idea, all of a sudden now how do you feel about it?
Absolutely. I mean, like,
yeah, and when really nothing has changed besides 4 people's opinions who really don't know the full context of the situation.
It's so true. Like, I'm going to be honest with you. Like, you know, again, I love my parents to death, and they were there for me in terms of, you know, helping me make that jump. But, you know, at times, you know, there's times where I would just have to not take their advice because it was just it wasn't sitting well with me, and I knew that. You figure out that when things don't sit well with you, you shouldn't entertain them anymore. And so, like, there'd be days where, you know, your friends or my family are like, oh, well, you're making good money. Just save up for, like, 3 years and then quit. I can't tell you how many times I heard that one. And so,
the longer the time goes, the harder it is to do, so.
Exactly, yeah. Like, or, you know, why don't you just go find another job? And, you know, these are people giving their best advice, but at a lot of the times, you know, again, I don't want to be disrespectful to anyone, but in my head, I'm telling myself, well, one, I don't want to stay here for 3 years and save up. I'd rather take that 3 years and do something else, or, you know, I don't want to go look for another job that's essentially going to be, you know, same position, different environment. Like, you know, so many people are like, oh, just go on Indeed or Monster and look at what's available. And, you know, that could have been a viable option, but it didn't work out. And a funny story about it, actually, is I don't know if I ever told you the first time around, but I actually had an opportunity to work for Gary Vee, and I turned it down because of that very reason.
Really? Tell me more about that.
Yeah, what happened was, so, give me a sec, let me just... Yeah, so, going off of that, basically, what had happened was there was, you know, you get a lot of that advice from your family and friends that say, oh, well, why don't you just look for another job that maybe better suits your skills, or you'll have more fun.
Yo, hello?
What's up?
All right, yeah, just go back to the part where you said pick a job where you'll have more fun in. Cut out after that.
Oh, okay, my bad. Yeah, no, so... you listen to the advice of your family and friends, and they go, oh, well, maybe you should find a job that, like, you'll have fun in, that you'll enjoy. And you start applying places, and I didn't really know what to do, but I was like, all right, well, let's see what's out there. And so I actually reached out to Gary Vee, and it was the day before my 22nd birthday, and I sent him an email, and I was just like, hey, man, like, I'm in this rut right now. I really hate my job. Like, just... I applied for whatever positions were on his VaynerMedia website, I just applied for all of them. I was like, I'd apply for X, Y, and Z. I'll take care of all that. Just, if you could just please flag my resume, like, it would mean the absolute world to me. Like, I'm a big fan. It was, you know, just I was really, almost like kind of like a plea, like a call for help. I was like, listen, man, like, I really fucking hate my job. Like, I can't stand it. So everything you say, like, I'm realizing, like, it would mean the world if you could just at least give me a chance. And so the next day, one of his reps called me, and they're like, yeah, we got your resume and your application. We want to set up a phone interview. And I was like, wow, that's so awesome. Like, oh my, like, the world is, you know, on fire at that point. So I set up the phone interview. We do that. But then, unfortunately, they're like, oh, we already hired someone, so we'll reach back you, another time. So I was like, oh, whatever, like, lost opportunity. But then they end up calling back, like, a month later, and they're like, hey, we are accepting some more spots. Are you interested? And I'm like, hell yeah, definitely, like, let's do it. And so they send me an email data set, which is essentially, it was like a Excel spreadsheet with problems. And they were like, yep, like, within 48 hours of receiving it, you have to send it back. And, like, this will just kind of, like, judge us and see where you are in terms of, like, you know, your skill set. sit at a boring desk and that's the stuff.
Yeah.
And then I get this Excel sheet in my email, and it's like all foreign alien language, talking all about like media marketing and like click dollars and just all this stuff that I'm not familiar with. And so I'm sitting there and I'm like, fuck, I have 48 hours to finish this. I have no idea what I'm doing. Like, literally, I have not a single clue what any of this is. And so that's where it kind of hit me, and I was like, well, what am I really doing? Why am I trying so hard to find other jobs to fill my void? Why don't I just try to create my own life? And so what I realized was I kept trying to jump around and look for new job opportunities that would allow me to have fun, but I was missing the whole point. The reason why I was not enjoying my jobs and so to speak, not having fun is because they were doing things that I didn't love. And I wasn't happy because, you know, I wasn't passionate about it. And so I kind of sat there, and again, I'm looking at the Excel sheet, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, this is cool and all, but what am I doing this for, too? Like, I don't know this. I didn't go to school for this. I'm not educated in this. Like, yeah, I could try and teach myself this, but this is still not in my realm of what I want to do. So they're like, all right,
hello?
Best of luck. What's up?
All right, sorry, just cut out again. There you go, you're good.
So, yeah, so then I just kind of, I emailed them back, and I said, you know, this is not for me. You know, thank you, I appreciate the opportunity, but, you know, I think it's best if I, you know, go elsewhere. You know, that was cool and all, and then, like, I had some other jobs, views, and opportunities, and the same thing. You know, I would come in, you know, I got sat down, go to the office, and everyone's, like, introducing themselves. They're like, yeah, we did this, this, and this here, and... No, I remember specifically I was in one job interview over the summer. Like, I don't want to. All I'm doing is just transferring locations. I'm going to another office environment, sitting at another desk environment, doing another office type mundane job. And so I closed my eyes and I just thought. And I said, why am I going to keep searching for work that no matter where I go, you know, it goes back to the old mentality of, like, you know, same shit, different day. Or, you know, all that whole mantra. And so I was just like, no matter what I do, no matter where I go, no matter what job I try to take or career I try to start, I'm not going to be as happy as I want because it's not what I want to do. Regardless if it's corporate finance or if it's media marketing for Gary V, to everybody else's viewpoint, they're thinking that, oh, it's good, you know, you're getting job interviews and you'll switch jobs and it'll be better. And so that's where, like, it's a really tough conversation to have because, you know, you're being sold on the idea of just getting another job. And then you're contemplating the, well, what if I do it on my own type thing. And so that was the biggest conflict.
Yeah, well, that was awesome, man. And that has to be really hard to turn down something with such, you know, a huge personality and like a celebrity in this day and age, you know, such as Gary Vee. So, you know, I applaud you again, man, for being able to turn that down. Now, what do you say to the individuals who may be listening to this right now, and they're like, well, easy for you to say, Thomas, you know, your passion is fitness. That's a huge industry. I like to fish, or I don't know what my passion is yet. You know, how can I start doing what I love if I don't think there's a niche for it, or if I don't know what my passion is? What would your advice be for them?
I mean, something that, well, first and foremost, I would say just, you know, just think, and that just trust that time will do its thing. You know, it's not easy for me, really, because, you know, like, obviously, like, people can say that fitness is a lucrative, you know, career, but so is
it. Yeah, I didn't mean to say that it was easy, but I can see people listening to it and think that, you know?
Absolutely. And so, but what I mean by that is that was my passion for the longest time, but I still didn't view it as something I would want to do. And so even though it was my passion, I wasn't necessarily convinced that it was, per se. You know?
Okay, so you didn't quit, like, saying, okay, I'm going to go get my CPT, Certified Personal Trainer Certificate.
No, not at all. That all
I'm going to start a YouTube channel and a podcast. You didn't have that in mind. Okay.
Yeah, no, it was more so like, okay, I'm going to quit. You know what? I just wasn't really aware enough that that's what it was. And two, you almost kind of have to just stumble into things. You know, you can't force anything. That's something I realized. And so a lot of people, you know, they'll say, well, what is my passion? What is my passion? And, you know, I had the same question at first. And I'm going to give you a very simple answer. It's not going to be a pretty one, but you just have to just wait. And just, you know, I'll take one from Gary Vee and say, try new things. That one definitely works.
Mm-hmm.
Just let time do its thing. You know, because.
Yeah.
If you force
and I think we talked about this when I was on your podcast, that I kind of started asking myself the same question. And
yeah, exactly.
when you ask yourself the same question repeatedly, like your subconscious mind goes to work on it. You know?
Yeah,
if you're not asking yourself the question on a daily basis multiple times a day, of course you're never going to find the answer. So you have to, the first step is asking yourself the question and trying new things, like you said.
Absolutely. And then going off of that, you know, you don't want to force an answer. I remember at first I found myself trying to, you know, force, you know, almost kind of like figure everything out in 5 minutes. Like, what's my passion? What do I want to do? What do I want to do with my life? Where do I want to go? And then you get to that point where you're like, well, I can't, like, I'm not going to figure out the rest of my life in 5 minutes. And so you keep asking yourself, well, what's my passion? What's my passion? I mean, I don't know. And neither do you, but the one thing you could do is, you know, try some new things. Maybe you'll like something and fall in love with it, but, you know, I think deep down everybody has something they really like. You know, everybody kind of, you know, has that little, that niche, or, you know, they kind of have that thing that they love to do, but it's just a matter of, like, not becoming, like I said, like, with me, not becoming aware enough to kind of let it, manifest. And so, you just have to let time do its thing. If you love fishing, and you absolutely don't think that fishing is possible, I mean, watch a couple fishing YouTube videos. Go on some fishing Instagram pages, and then just start thinking about how you can have some fun with it. You know, for me, that was a big thing, or taking things that I enjoy doing and having fun with it. And so I kind of put all that together. And so, like, if you like fishing, you know, you could have, like, a catch of the day or something, or, like, you know, choose a fish you like and, like, talk about it, or you could go out and film how-tos or something. I don't know, but... all these ideas.
Yeah, no, that's some great advice. It's kind of exactly the answer I was looking for, yeah.
But it all comes with time. And so, you know, something I realized is that, you know, one, like, we're all wine. We all get better with age. And, like, it's just the truth. And so, with that being said, you get better as you go along. And so, at first, for me, at least I was always like, well, what the hell am I supposed to do? I don't know what I'm going to be doing here. And then you just start trying to, like, think of different ways to do the things that you like to do. You know, like, for me, uh-huh. for example, I was like, okay, I don't like to do this banking job. So what do I like to do? How can I kind of, you know, how can I spend some time doing that today? That's really, I want to see how it all starts. You know, it literally started with one blog post. And then two. And then it was, like, an extra Instagram post. And then now it's just, like, it's all these different, like, mediums and stuff. And so whatever you like to do, you have to understand that, you know, it's going to take some time to develop. It's not like you're going to go to sleep and then tomorrow you're going to have all the tools at your disposal. You know, there's a big learning curve with everything. And so if you like to knit, so if you like to take pictures, or if you like to write, whatever the hell it is that you like to do, I think it's just going to take some time. You know, actually, you know, develop a plan on how to go about doing it, but just simply figuring out how to have fun ways in what you're doing. The cool thing with social media is that you have access to so much content. So not only could you share and interact with other people, but you could get ideas. And so just, you know, look at other people who are kind of doing what you're doing and see if there's something that you can emulate from them, something that you can take from them. And then how can you put your own spin on it? That's a big thing, in my opinion, because a lot of people just try to be copycat. And no one wants to copy. Nobody wants to be a copycat. And so, you know, unfortunately, there's a lot of them there. There's a lot of them out there. And I think in terms of being successful in what you want to do, you could obviously, you know, have some fun with the things you enjoy, but put your own spin on it and just, you know, understand that it's going to take some time, but you learn a lot about yourself. And so, you know, I'm a different person than I was yesterday. You know, just like you said at the start of the show, the last time we interviewed was like 4 or 5 months ago. But look how much has changed in that time span. And so I think a lot of people get caught up in the aspect of time. You know, 3 months is a very long time. And so what can happen between May and September is a really big deal. But they just don't realize that. And so I think it's just all a process for people to go through and learn, and eventually they'll find themselves.
Dude, that's awesome, man, because everyone, especially with technology and like Uber Eats and stuff like that, it's all instant gratification. So people think if they think about it for 3 days and they don't have an answer, then it's a fruitless endeavor, you know. So awesome advice right there, Thomas. Now, just a few more questions. I'll have to go, man. You do a lot, dude. You just finished studying for your certified personal trainer certificate. Congratulations again on receiving that. Now you're a full-time trainer. You're welcome, brother. That's exciting. You're a full-time trainer. I see you, you know, training all the time yourself. You're always putting out content on Instagram. You have a blog. You have a YouTube. You have a podcast. How do you prioritize? How do you manage all of your time and still manage to keep all those different mediums and everything in line in your life?
Oh, man, it's not it's not easy. It's not easy. I ask myself the same question.
Is it like a day-by-day thing? You just like, you know,
yeah,
plan
you know
the
what?
Day what you're going to do the next day, or do you have more of a, you know, long-term plan?
So it's going to be kind of a cheesy answer, but I took this one from you when I interviewed you, and it was about starting your day by actually writing things down and planning it and, like, writing the goals and stuff down. And because I remember when I interviewed you like 4 or 5 months ago, you were like, yeah, I get up at 4:30 in the morning every morning and I like sit down and like I do my daily affirmations and I write my goals down. And, you know, at first I didn't have to do that because at first it was like, oh, I only have to write a blog post. And so it got to the point where I was just, you know, like you said, there was a lot going on and a lot of content I had to put out. And so, like, taking one from your book, Jim, and, like, just really planning your day out has been a severe help. But, like, you know, that's – in essence of that, I mean, working out is just – it's my passion. It's what I love to do. But more so, it's a staple in my life. And so The Rock talks about it a lot, too. Like, that's why he gets up at 4:20 every morning and has his workout done by 6:30. And so you have to ground yourself and – again, you know, I take this from him in that, you know, you have to be able to, you know, take care of you and give yourself your time and keep yourself grounded, because if you're giving and constantly putting out, you know, you eventually have to put into yourself. And so, like, you know, I kind of have that little phrase, like, invest in your health, invest in yourself. So that's another one from Gary Vee that I absolutely love. And so, in terms of that respect, like, again, you know, a lot of people could view it as selfish, but, you know, I'm always going to get my workout in regardless. You know, whatever, you know, if I'm scheduled to work out on that day, like, regardless, I'm getting it in. And so that helps me, you know, as long as I know I can get that in for the day, I'm good. Because that's like my little temple, that's my happy place. I get in, I get my body right, I take care of myself. Now I know I can tackle everything else.
I'm the same exact way, man. Sometimes I'm like, oh, I'm so busy at this, and that. Maybe I won't lift today. But I know if I don't find the time to get in the gym, then I won't be as productive, mentally sharp. I won't have as much
absolutely
energy. So I, my brain knows that now. So when, you know, when one part of my brain tells the other, skip the workout today, you don't have time, know that, hey, what I got to do later in the day, I won't be at 100% because I didn't have, you know, that part of my day.
Absolutely.
And it takes a while to get there, to, you know, it within, you know, for fitness. You're not going to feel like that the first week you work out.
Oh, no. If anything, you won't want to go back. And so I've learned, especially, more so recently with a lot of the CrossFit training, you know, the facility I go to, the guys are absolute professionals. You know, they're actually at the CrossFit Games right now. I mean, these guys are top-of-the-line athletes. And so since going there, something I've realized in that, you know, now that I take my next level, you know, each and every workout, it's an opportunity for me to mentally challenge myself. And that, I'm going to be a lot better walking out of there than I was walking in. And so knowing that if I can conquer that, I can conquer anything. And so that's
it. Dude, I love that, man. I would say that, you know, I live more for the mental and emotional game than the physical.
Absolutely. Yep, absolutely.
If the doctor, Jimmy, like, you won't grow anymore, your muscles, you just have, like, a disease, I would still lift every fucking day.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Absolutely. If they're like, you're going to be an absolute, you know, lard of fat for the rest of your life, like, forget about it. I'm still getting in there.
Yeah, 100%.
And then, so, like,
man,
you know, I get that. You know, I make sure that I get that in when I can, and, like, that keeps me grounded. You know, like I said, I take one from your book, and I plan my day out. I wake up, I have my pen and paper, and I sit down, and I go, okay, like, what do I have to do today? So, whether it's the blog, the podcast, edit a video, I try to only focus on one thing at a time. You know, early on, I struggled with trying to do too many things at once. And so I would put down 12, like, literally, no joke, I would put down, like, 12 things to do to start, like, to do for the day. And I would get nothing done because I was so overwhelmed with how much I would have to do. So if anything, I started to scale it back. So
yeah, and then when you do that, you start to get down on yourself. You're like,
yeah, exactly. I would be
you're like, fuck,
I'm
supposed to do 12 things. I only did 3? What the fuck is wrong with me? I'm not made for this. So if anyone takes anything away from this, it's to start small and start simple. You build that confidence, you gain that momentum, and then you can start adding more shit to your day.
Absolutely. And that was exactly what was going on with me. I would be going to bed at night, and I'd be like, wow, I got 2 out of my 14 things done. I'm really unproductive. And it was just, one, it got to the point where it was silly because I wasn't getting anything done. And so I learned to scale back, like the whole less is more mentality. It's so important. And so essentially I wake up and my days will always kind of be relatively consistent for the most part. Like I'll sit down, I'll write out what I'm doing for that day. You know, generally I like to start my day off with just like a little social media interaction just so I can get on and get active and just see what's going on. So I'll make sure I'm getting my nutrition in. If it's still early in the morning, I'll try to get a little bit of work done on my computer. Maybe, you know, like emailing some clients or just like editing some videos, some stuff like that. I then try to get out to the gym, get my workout in, and then, you know, 5 days out of the 7, so I'm headed into the gym to train 6 hours. So right there, it's just about, you know, prepping my day, getting my people ready, and, you know, getting their workouts in, and then also just understanding what I have to take care of. So, you know, again, this is where I try to keep it one thing at a time. Whether it's, okay, I have one blog post I got to focus on publishing, let's take the next 2 or 3 days and just try to work around that. Because, you know, more so now that I'm always up and about, I don't have, you know, 3-4 hours to just sit down and hammer away at everything as much as I like to. And so, you know, whether it's a podcast, a blog, a YouTube video, I try to, you know, keep it one thing at a time. It's almost like on rotation. And so, you know, like last week, for example, like, you know, I would find a spare 30 minutes or an hour here, and I would just keep working on the video, and that's how I got it done. And so it's not like I'm so bouncing around all over the place. It's okay, I wake up, I do my social media stuff, I go my workout, I'm eating my food throughout the day. If I'm working, that's cool. If I'm not working, maybe I can sit down and get some other stuff done. But I just try to keep it simple. Don't try to put too much into your day because you'll overwhelm yourself. And then finally, once I figure out like the 4 or 5 things I have to do, I write down my goals for that day. And my goals are always pretty much consistent. They're always to have an awesome workout and crush it, to make sure I get all my to-do stuff done for the day, and then just to make sure that I'm happy and that I'm enjoying it. And so I write down those goals, you know, I get myself ready, and then I go about my day. I take it one step at a time. I know the days fly by, but, you know, I manage to get my work done. I'm still surprised that I do, but I manage to get it.
Hello?
Yo.
Okay, so, Thomas, dude, that's awesome, and I don't ever want to hear anyone say that they don't have time to do this or time to do that. You have so much on your plate, man. I see you putting out content, blog posts, YouTube videos.
I feel like I could be doing more, which is the funny part.
Because that's the mentality that you have. I kind of have the same thing. No matter how much I accomplish in the day, I'm like, what could I have done better? What could I have done more?
Yeah. I'm like, I should.
You know, it's all about how you look at it.
I'm like, I should be putting out 5 videos a week and 2 blog posts, you know? Like, you always want to do more.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So you don't want to ever hear anyone say that. He has a full-time job. He works out every single day. He has a blog, a podcast, a YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook that are constantly putting out content. So don't ever want to hear that excuse from anyone else. And so lastly, Thomas, you know, before I let you go, man, any, you know, last minute, you know, kind of same question you asked me. I stole this from you. You know, any last minute life hacks, you know, tips, advice to any listeners out there that may just be down and out. They may be unhappy, maybe not with their job, but with their relationship, with their life in general. What would your advice be to them to kind of get out of their rut and to start improving their life?
Life is binary, man. It's black or white. It's yes or no. That's it. It's like a really, like, it's a cold, hard truth of it. But it's helped me so much, and it's actually funny you say this. Like, right before I hopped on the phone with you, she's been going through the same thing. Like, she hates her job, corporate environment, and I've been like, listen, like, you should kind of, like, do what makes you happy and leave. And she literally just messaged me before I hopped on the phone, and she was like, I quit my job. And one of the things I told her, you know, the same thing I'm telling you guys, are that just life is binary. You know, like I said earlier, there's a lot of, like, noise that happens. And we always want to justify, and we kind of learn that, you know, there is no buyer's remorse, really, with life. And so it's either you do or you don't. Like, that's really it. And so whether, you know, you want to, you know, do you want to work out? It's not, oh, maybe I should, or I don't have the time. It's yes or no. You know, do you want to, you know, quit your job? Well, maybe, but I don't have this. No, it's yes or it's no. And then you realize that everything falls under the yes or the no umbrellas. You know, all the what ifs and everything, those are just, they really don't mean anything. Because at the end of the day, it can all be solved the yes or a no. That's it. So, you know, if there's anything I could just, you know, leave anybody with, I mean, this is, again, these, you know, my perspectives have been a culmination from, you know, a ton of other people and from my experiences, but if there is anything that I can leave you with on this episode and for you guys, life is binary. It's black or white. You either do or you don't. You make the decision or you don't. And that's really it, my man. It's a yes or no situation. You either, you know, hunker down and get to it, or, you know, it's like the Matrix. I use that. It's funny. I'll leave you with that. It's like, I use this example with a lot of the people I work with because they get the Matrix because they've seen the movie. It's how you take the red pill or the blue pill. You know, you either go back to your normal life and do what you're doing and don't change anything, or you make the conscious effort to change and you step into reality and you get it done.
And whichever pill you decide to take, don't fucking complain about it because you made that decision.
Exactly. And that's the thing, it's binary. Like, you shouldn't complain. Like, if you really, really want to do something and you say yes, there should be no complaints because you're accepting the fact it's going to be hard. But yeah, I mean, I don't have a lot of time. You know, but I'm not complaining about it because I chose to do what I'm doing and I love it. And so, or on the flip side of that, you can't say that you're going to stay at your job and be happy. I mean, you know, continue to live and cry on Facebook saying how wish you were doing more. No, it's a yes or no.
Like, you can choose to do more. Stop complaining about it and just start doing something about it.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Dude, Thomas, thank you so much for sharing, you know, your story, being so transparent. And I know there were a lot of nuggets in there that my listeners will be able to take away, hopefully apply in their own life and, you know, start them on a upward trajectory. So, Thomas, thank you very much again. Best of luck, you know, building your book of business up with your personal training clients. And if anyone, Thomas, why don't you tell everyone kind of where to find you on social media, where to find your blog, all that good stuff.
Real Chin Shady at everywhere. You can head on over to my Instagram, at Real Chin Shady. Give me a follow. I would love to see what you're about. The YouTube channel just launched. You can find the link in my bio. Again, that is at Real Chin Shady. Again, I'll say that one more time. That's at Real Chin Shady. The link is in my bio on my Instagram. You can also go to my Facebook page. Actually, everything is on my Instagram. If you go to my Instagram, at Real Chin Shady, go to the profile, hit follow. I'll say what's up to you. And then I have all the links on the bottom. To my Facebook, to my blog, to my podcast, to my YouTube, to my Snapchat, everything. You got the whole nine yards. Head on over to Instagram, at Real Chin Shady. And a big, big thank you to anyone who clicked that link and watched that video. It means a lot to me. And, Jimmy, I just want to say thank you, man. I'm really happy that, like, since I had you on the show a couple months ago, you've just completely taken off and, like, you're on fire, man. Like, you're doing TED, like, you're about to do TED Talks, man. Like, nothing but respect to you. Like, you really, like, you're on fire, man. Nothing but motivating stuff coming from you. I love it.
Awesome, man. Well, you know, like I said, talking to you kind of inspired me to get my own thing going, man, and to do what I love and to do my passion. So, you know, thank you again, everyone. Go check him out. And that's, in case you guys didn't listen, Real, RealChinShady. Check him out on Instagram. Shoot him a follow. Thomas, thank you very much for your time, man. We'll connect again soon.
Talk to you soon, Jimmy. Take care, my man.
All right, buddy. Bye-bye.
Wow, what a great story, what a great mindset, and what a great overall guy. Thomas, thank you again for taking your time out of your busy, busy schedule to share your story with my listeners and anyone who's still listening at this point. I know this was a long podcast. Thank you guys very much as well. I hope you guys took away a few things that you can apply in your own life to improve your current circumstances. If you guys got any value out of this or any previous podcast, please do me a huge favor. Go on iTunes, subscribe, rate, review. It would mean the world to me. I do this to get my message out to the world, and I feel that I have a story to tell and people need to hear it, but I can't do that without the help of you guys. So thank you all again for tuning in to Jimmy D Radio. I hope you guys have a fucking awesome week.